Hey there, coffee lovers. Welcome back to Mugside, the Opaka Coffee Podcast, where every episode helps turn your coffee ritual into something richer, deeper, and, yes, more delicious. I'm Hope.
And I'm James. We're back with another cup of curiosity, and today we're going full lab coat. Sort of.
Yep. This episode is all about the science behind espresso. What happens when you grind, tamp, brew, and sip? There's a lot more going on than just pressing a button.
So if you've ever had a shot that was too sour or too bitter and you couldn't figure out why, chances are the answer lies in the chemistry.
Exactly. We'll unpack everything from bean structure to cream of foam to how water temperature and brew time affect the flavor in your cup.
Don't worry, we're keeping it laid back. No PhD required, just your love for coffee and a curiosity for what's happening behind the scenes.
Let's get started.
So let's start where every cup starts, the bean. Hope, I know you love this part.
I really do. Each coffee bean is this incredibly complex little package. You've got carbohydrates, proteins, lipids, chlorogenic acids, and volatile aromatics. And they all play a role in how your espresso turns out. And that chemical makeup shifts dramatically with a roast level. A light roast, higher in acids and denser. A dark roast, softer, easier to extract, but also more bitter if you're not careful.
Right. Roasting kicks off the Maillard reaction and caramelization. That's when amino acids and sugars interact under heat to create hundreds of new flavor compounds. Think nutty, toasty, chocolatey notes. I remember the first time I brewed a naturally processed Ethiopian roast at home. I wasn't ready for that fruit bomb, like, hello raspberry jam?
Yep, natural processing leaves more of the fruit mucilage on the bean, which ferments and adds those funky, fruity esters. Was your shot good?
Wild. I didn't get the extraction right, so it was like raspberry vinegar, but it taught me something. Every bean behaves differently, and that's what makes espresso fun and tricky. It's not a recipe, it's a relationship, right? You can't just plug in the same numbers every time and expect the same results. Different beans respond differently. It's like dating. What worked last week might not work today, especially if your coffee's changed.
Yeah, that's why tasting, adjusting, and understanding what your coffee needs is key. You're working with a living product. Beans age, degas, evolve. So being flexible and observant matters. And speaking of observing, the first thing we all notice when pulling a shot is what's happening on top. That golden, foamy layer everyone's obsessed with.
Yep. Let's talk about crema, the beloved espresso crown. But is it all hype?
Great question. Crema forms when CO2, trapped in the bean during roasting, gets released under pressure and combines with emulsified oils and tiny coffee particles. It creates a stable foam, like a pressure-borne mousse.
It's a sign of freshness, right?
Usually, yes. Freshly roasted beans have more gas, so more crema. But here's the twist. Too much crema can be misleading.
Wait, misleading how?
It can hide a bad shot. Sometimes bitter compounds cling to the crema layer. So a great tasting espresso may have thin crema, while a flashy crema shot may taste flat.
Mind blown. So what should people look for?
Look for color, golden to reddish brown. Bubbles should be tight. And most importantly, smell and taste. Crema should lift aroma, not mask it.
I once had a shot with tiger striping crema. Gorgeous, but it tasted like overcooked molasses.
Yep. Crema is presentation, but flavor is the performance. Extraction is where the magic and most mistakes happen. It's all about pulling the right soluble compounds from the grounds.
And in the right order, first acids, then sugars, then bitters. It's like a time-sensitive flavor parade.
Exactly. Think of espresso like a waterfall. At the top, bright, lively flavors. In the middle, sweetness, balance, body. At the bottom, drying and bitter notes.
So if you cut the shot too early, you miss the sweet spot, literally.
Yep. That's under extraction, sour, salty, flat. If you go too long, over extraction, dry, bitter, maybe astringent.
So what do you use to dial it in?
A 1-to-2 brew ratio is a great starting point. Like 18 grams in, 36 grams out, that's about 0.63 ounces in, 1.27 ounces out. From there, adjust your grind and time based on flavor. And once you start dialing in based on taste, it's a game changer. You're not just chasing numbers, you're chasing a profile. Some shots want a little more time, others shine with a quicker pull.
Two different beans roasted the same way might still behave completely differently under pressure. There's no one-size-fits-all formula, which is why I love tracking changes in a log. Even just noting how a new bag behaves with the same settings gives you insight.
Totally. Coffee extraction isn't guesswork. It's data plus taste. So we talked about extraction in terms of time and yield, but there's another variable that's getting a lot more attention lately, pressure profiles.
Yeah, I've seen some machines that let you adjust pressure over time instead of holding a flat 9 bars. Is that legit science or just espresso snobbery?
It's actually fascinating science. Most machines deliver water at a fixed pressure, but advanced machines can ramp pressure up and down, almost like manual lever machines. That affects how solubles are released and how the crema forms.
So by controlling pressure, you can emphasize different flavor phases?
Exactly. Slower pressure at the beginning, what we call pre-infusion, gently saturates the grounds and reduces channeling. Then a pressure peak extracts the sweet spot. Finally, tapering off at the end can avoid bitter compounds.
That's wild. I guess that's what some home baristas are simulating with puck screens and flow control mods.
Yep, it's about finding your preferred tactile feel and flavor expression. And if you're not ready for pressure profiling yet, just start by dialing in your flow rate. Faster flow equals lighter body. Slower flow equals heavier body.
This is next level espresso nerd stuff, and I'm here for it.
Let's talk about the invisible ingredient, water. It's 98% of your espresso. Yet people use whatever comes out of the tap and expect cafe results.
Guilty. I lived in an old building with super hard water. I thought my machine was broken.
Hard water has excess calcium and magnesium. It can mess with flavor and cause scale buildup. Soft water can make your coffee taste flat. You want balanced water. Ideally, around 150 parts per million of total dissolved solids.
That's why some cafes use reverse osmosis and remineralize, right?
Exactly. You don't need a lab at home, though. A good home filter or bottled spring water can make a huge difference.
But can you explain what is reverse osmosis and what does it mean to remineralize the water?
Reverse osmosis is a water purification process where water is forced through a semi-permeable membrane to remove impurities. It filters out minerals, like calcium and magnesium, contaminants, like chlorine, lead, and fluoride, salts, and other dissolved solids. The result is very pure, empty water, often too pure for brewing coffee because it lacks the minerals that help extract and carry flavor from the grounds. Since reverse osmosis makes the water is too clean, baristas and roasters often remineralize it by adding specific minerals back in, like magnesium, calcium, bicarbonates. This creates ideal brewing water with the right balance of minerals to extract flavors from coffee effectively and preserve equipment. Why it matters for coffee? Well, too few minerals can equal to a flat, sour, under-extracted coffee. Too many minerals can equal to a muddy, bitter, over-extracted taste. By using reverse osmosis plus remineralization, cafes and serious home brewers control water composition precisely, which leads to better tasting coffee and longer machine life.
But not distilled.
Never. Distilled lacks minerals, so it extracts poorly and can damage your machine.
Wow. Water's not just background, it's the foundation.
So water brings out flavor, But let's talk about one of those flavors that confuses a lot of people, acidity.
Yes. Acidity is not a bad thing. It's a vital part of what makes espresso vibrant and complex, but it's often misunderstood. People hear acidic and think of something unpleasant, like sour or stomach burning.
But in coffee, acidity refers to brightness. Think of the difference between a flat apple juice and a fresh squeezed grapefruit juice.
So what types of acidity are we talking about?
Malic acid gives apple-like crispness. Citric acid is more like lemon. Phosphoric acid can give sparkling cola-like effects. And the roast level, origin, and brew method all affect how these show up in your cup.
Can you brew acidity out of a coffee if you don't like it?
To an extent, yes, higher temps and longer extraction times tend to reduce perceived acidity. But it's all about balance, not erasing, but harmonizing.
Right. You don't want to lose that brightness completely. When acidity is balanced with sweetness and body, it gives espresso that pop, that sparkle that wakes up your palate.
Yes, and achieving that balance isn't just about the beans or the grind. It has a lot to do with how we apply heat.
The not-so-obvious variable, temperature. It's one of those things I ignored for way too long when I started pulling shots.
You're not alone. A lot of people underestimate just how much temperature shapes flavor. It controls how fast different compounds are extracted, which directly affects how acidity, sweetness, and bitterness show up in the cup. Let's geek out on temperature. It controls extraction speed and flavor balance.
And it turns out hot enough isn't always hot enough or too hot.
Exactly. Most machines brew between 195 degrees Fahrenheit to 205 degrees Fahrenheit. Lower temps pull out acids and fruitiness. Higher temps extract body and bitters.
So if your espresso tastes sour, maybe bump it up a degree or two.
Yep. Also, preheat your portafilter, group head, and cup. Cold metal zaps heat on contact.
I now run a blank shot before every pull. Takes 10 seconds and makes a big difference.
Pro move. Espresso is all about thermal stability. It's one of the least talked about but most important variables. When your group head, portafilter, or even your cup is cold, it pulls heat away from the water during brewing, and even a few degrees can shift your extraction.
Yeah, I didn't realize it at first, but my early morning shots always tasted flat. Then I realized my machine was on, but nothing was warmed up. It was like brewing into a snowstorm.
Exactly. You want the entire brew path from water reservoir to metal components to be consistently hot. That's what keeps your water temp steady during extraction, which gives you better clarity, balance, and body.
So warming up your machine isn't just for espresso snobs?
Nope. It's for anyone who wants consistent flavor. Warm gear equals fewer surprises in the cup.
I think we cover a lot about the science behind the shots, but have you ever had a shot where everything just clicks? It's bright, sweet, rich, and just makes you pause?
Yes, that's the harmony we're chasing. Acidity, sweetness, and bitterness in perfect sync.
I used to think acidity was a flaw. Like, why does this taste tangy? But acidity adds sparkle and fruit character. It's only bad when it overwhelms or lacks sweetness to balance it. So the goal isn't to avoid these elements, it's to balance them.
Exactly. The sweet spot lives in the middle of the extraction curve. Too short and you miss the sugars. Too long and the bitters dominate.
That explains why the same beans taste different at my friend's house. He always overpulls them.
Flavor is data. If it's too sharp, extend the shot a bit. If it's too dull, pull back. So much of espresso is just listening to what your tongue is telling you.
All right, we've talked about taste, but what about texture? That's one thing I never understood until I really paid attention.
Yes. Espresso isn't just about flavor, it's about mouthfeel, too. That velvety, syrupy body is what sets it apart from regular drip.
What determines that body?
It's mostly emulsified oils and suspended microsolids. Those are extracted at high pressure. Finer grind, higher brew temps, and darker roasts tend to increase body.
I've had shots that feel thick, like warm honey, and others that are thin like tea.
It's also tied to crema integration. Some people stir the crema back in for body, others scoop it off for clarity.
I stir mine. I like that full, rich texture.
And that's personal preference. There's no wrong way. But understanding texture helps you tweak for your ideal mouthfeel.
Okay, Hope, this is great information. Let's do some rapid-fire tips for dialing in your espresso at home.
Yes, number one, get a good burr grinder. Consistent grind is everything. Two, weigh your dose and yield. Eyeballing it just doesn't cut it with espresso. Three, let your machine warm up for at least 20 to 30 minutes. It matters. Four, use filtered or mineral-balanced water, not distilled. Five, taste and tweak, and keep a log. Trust us, it helps. Bonus, don't chase perfection every time. Enjoy the learning process, because that's how you get better, one shot at a time.
Before we wrap up, let's do something fun. Hope, can you walk us through a quick, mindful espresso tasting?
Absolutely. So if you've got a shot in front of you or just want to imagine, start by observing the crema. Is it thick, spotted, golden? That tells you about freshness and extraction.
Mine looks like caramel with a few bubbles.
Nice. Now give it a swirl, maybe a gentle stir. Smell. What aromas do you get? Is it nutty, fruity, earthy?
Definitely getting chocolate and something floral. Maybe orange blossom?
Beautiful. Now take a sip. Small, intentional. Notice the mouthfeel. Syrupy, silky? Then move to flavor. Is it bright, sweet, bitter? How does it evolve on your palate?
Wow. First it's citrus, then caramel, and finally a kind of bittersweet finish. I never noticed that curve before.
That's the science in action, and that's the ritual. A moment of awareness every morning.
Love that. Espresso isn't just a shot, it's a story. So that is why we should go through all this effort, measure, weigh, taste, and adjust?
Yes, definitely. Because when you understand the science, your daily espresso becomes something more. It's not just caffeine, it's connection. To the origin, the roast, the ritual, and even to yourself, there's something meditative about refining the process each morning. It's a craft. And when you hit that sweet spot, it's joy in a cup. At Opaka, that's what we believe. Coffee can be more than a routine. It can be a sensory, intentional experience.
Thanks for joining us in this espresso deep dive. We hope you're walking away a little more confident, a little more curious, and a lot more excited about your next shot. We'd love to hear your experiments. Tag us, message us, let us know what you're brewing and learning.
And don't forget to subscribe to Mugside wherever you get your podcasts. Next week, we're exploring the brewing gadgets changing the home barista game.
Until then, sip slowly, brew boldly, and enjoy the science in your cup. Thank you.